Little over 2,000 years ago, the world is what you would probably call broken. There's lots of things going on. People are dying in global conflicts. Some have more than enough, so much that they actually kind of throw away food that could have been enjoyed and eaten by others, while some are begging for their daily bread. Some are being enslaved. Some are living free. Some are able to move across the countryside free from any kind of challenge to their movement, and others are severely limited by how far from home they can go. And the humanity's response to that brokenness is census, taxation, and empire. As if somehow doing those things, counting how many people live where and who's related to who so that we know how much to charge them in order to generate enough coffers in order to perpetuate the empire in the first place and the systems of oppression that continue to exist, that somehow is going to solve the world's brokenness. Almost 2,000 years later, there are days when I'm not sure we've learned a whole lot. But God's response to that brokenness is completely different. Instead, God says in that brokenness, the solution just might be wholeness. And wholeness might need an incarnation. And the incarnation will manifest itself in Emmanuel, God with us. In the weeks leading up to tonight, we often talk a lot about the choices that people had to make, a choice that Mary made, the choice that Joseph makes, the choice that the shepherds make, the choice that the Magi make, the choice that humans make. And sometimes I wonder if we miss the wonder of this night. That when faced with the brokenness of humanity, God chooses to be with us, to be one of us. That's the divine choice. And the response to that brokenness in the world. Of course, when the shepherds first hear that good news, an angel appears to them, as Lauren read, and you know, they're terrified. Sometimes I also think that when we read this story, we think of the Hollywood versions of angels, and they're like really cute, and they're nice, you know, they're all dressed in white, and they're very, you know, just so, right? Angels were terrifying creatures. If you read the rest of Scripture, the last thing you ever wanted to see was an angel. They literally would scare the pants off you. So that makes no wonder that every time one appears, the first things they say is, "Don't be afraid." And sometimes I think we leave the story there. It sounds nice. It sounds cute. If I saw, you know, a heavenly body appear right there, I'd probably cower in fear. But what if there was more than that to it? What if it wasn't just don't be afraid, but another version of that phrase is have courage? The absence of fear being courage. What if that's the message, that God is coming to literally live amongst you and be one of you, that is the divine choice that's being made this very night? So have courage. In the face of all of the things going on in the world, in the face of all of that brokenness, all of the things that make us question whether or not the divine is even paying any attention anymore, have courage. A little over a week ago, there was a group of us gathered together for a meeting, and Kathleen shared a quote about courage. She looked at the group of us that were gathered around a table and said, "Courage is not the absence of fear, it is the presence of God." to a gathering of shepherds on the side of a hill, an angel says, "Have courage. Do not be afraid. God is with you." And it's not that you don't have any fear anymore. I fear about all kinds of things all the time. Our son is in the Canadian Armed Forces. One of our fears that we live with all the time whenever we hear that there's some global conflict somewhere else is whether or not he will be placed on rapid deployment once again and whether or not he might have to go to that very place. Every time I look at the news, I'm fearful I'm going to hear about another shooting somewhere, another home being bulldozed somewhere, another flood, another drought, another decision to lay off tens of thousands of people. There's all kinds of things to be fearful about. And yet, the Christmas story reminds us to have courage. In the light of all of that, have courage. That's the wonder of Emmanuel, God with us. That there is the opportunity, the chance for us to have no fear here, and instead have courage, trusting that God is with us. When we gather together as community, when we ground ourselves in the sacred story, when we care for our neighbors, when we make those phone calls or Skype calls or whatever kind of calls or texts or emails or whatever it is you're going to do, could be, I don't know, smoke signals for that matter tomorrow. Those moments when you reach out and remind somebody that they are loved, that they have value, that they are appreciated. When you were exchanging the peace of Christ tonight, I noticed a lot of you opted for the hug. You're a very huggy bunch. That's not a bad thing. In a world that is increasingly isolated, the one from the other, in a world where we are told more and more people feel alone, where more and more people crave some kind of human-to-human contact, to be in a space where we can hug one another, I believe that is God with us in that moment. So friends, as you make your way back out, as you go home, and if you're like us, we will wait until 12:01, open everything, then go to bed. We've done that for years. As you join together with family and friends, as you ponder people that are no longer physically part of our lives, but every bit present in our lives. As you look around the world and see things that we all should be afraid of, have courage. For the good news of this night is just that. It isn't up to us as individuals. It isn't up to us even as communities. For God is with us. And when God is with us, then the ability to tackle all the things that might scare us, well, it becomes possible. May it be so. Miigwech. Amen.